Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for this evening show, Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our lab provides the audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children, and our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. With that, I'd like to open the show up today with our host for this evening, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in an excellent citation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, producer, along with our beloved sister, Dr. Patricia Slow Dean, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And we're fast approaching our fifth anniversary, starting all the way back on our sister station, AM 360 Radio, the latter part of January, going all the way back to 2017. And we look at having a special two-hour production for celebrating our fifth anniversary on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, we want to say to you that this is your learning lab. We do encourage that you press 1. If you have a question, a comment, or anything that Dr. Patricia Slaudine or myself may say tonight, we do invite you to enter into the conversation. And for those of you who may be listening by way of the internet, you have to dial into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. We want to just give you some staples here. This learning lab is based and predicated on Al-Quran, the Quran, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, in the demonstration of the Quran, and the tafsir, which is the clear explanation by our beloved leader, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad. And for the past 2 years, we have selected an excellent publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell on the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. And we're just doing an accelerated version of that so that those who may have missed it initially can have an idea of these 21 indispensable essential qualities. And tonight we'll be on the quality of initiative. And so, as always, we begin the learning lab with an overview from our last session last week as we had the debut of our beloved co-host and co-facilitator each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Attorney Angela Habibullah. So with that being said, I'd like to bring on our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. How are you, Mark?
Oh, I'm a little under the weather. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice or not, but I thank Allah that I am here, and I'm going to do the best that I can while I'm here. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for asking. And so, I think you're prepared to give us somewhat of an overview of what it is that you thought was noteworthy last week on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Attorney Angela Habibullah Debut.
Yes, thank you very much, Mark. And I pray that Allah will grant you complete recovery from your discomfort. And you sound okay. You do sound a little under the weather.
Yes,
you're good, and you're committed. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab Overview Episode Number 27 January 5th, 2022 The Resource 21 The Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John C. Maxwell This episode introduces our new co-host Sister Angela Habibullah Esquire from St. Louis, Missouri I will give you excerpts from attorney Habibullah's bio. Sister Angela is a mother, wife who loves living life. Her mission in life is to be pleasing to God and to help and give service to others. She believes she was put on earth to enhance the lives of children, which she does through her work conducting classes for mothers and fathers in the court system. She believes no other success in life compensates for failure at home. Sister Angela is most happy about the three children that she and her husband raised. They have turned out to be human beings who have values and morals and know that they must do what is moral, right, and legal. Welcome, Attorney Angela Habibullah. Brother Mark and Sister Angela started the discussion of generosity with words of Allah. When teaching our children about generosity, we start with Allah who introduces himself in the opening chapter of the Quran as a merciful benefactor, the one who gives to his creation unconditionally. It was noted that man do not have to do anything to be recipients of Allah's generosity. Allah gives man life and facilitates the continuation of life in many ways. One example is the heart that beats without any effort from man. It was pointed out that it is important that we reach and constantly remind our children about the mercy and generosity of Allah. They continue with modeling generosity, stating that demonstrating generosity is the best way to teach children to be generous. Action speaks louder than words. Children are watching and listening. Children should see and hear generous behavior from the adults in their lives. It was also noted that parents have to be willing to put their needs on the back burner and make time for their children. If that is done, children will make the right choices when they are faced with adversity. The importance of giving time was also discussed. Eating at the dinner table, which is therapeutic, sharing time together, is a very important part of generosity, teaching children to be generous. Give money to those who are less fortunate. Teach children the 10-to-1 rule. When you give, Allah multiplies your giving 10 times. Give children opportunities to give to others. Also, give in wisdom. Pass on the family history, words of the grandparents. Let children know where they come from. Remind children that Allah is the rightful owner of all that we have in our possession. See yourself as a trustee. The only thing that you own is your attitude. A hadith was also shared to illustrate this point. There are three things that go to the graveyard, the family, possessions, and deeds. Two leave and only one remain. The family and the possession leaves. One that is left is your deeds, good or bad. Who much is given, much is expected. And Brother Mark shared a poem by James Patrick McKinney. The poem is entitled The Call Within. He recited the poem, and I suggested you go to the podcast and to the episode and listen to his recitation. I will read this poem to you, but he recited it. Six humans trapped trapped by happenstance and bleak and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. The dying fire in need of logs, the first man held his back, for of the faces around the fire, he noticed one was black. The next man looking across the way saw one not of his church and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one said in tattered clothes, he gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. From all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of this forlorn group did not accept for gain. Give only to those who gave was how he played the game. Their logs held tight in death's still hands was proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. Okay. And in conclusion, the highest form of living is giving. Those who give, they live. Those who deny, they die. And they die internally. An example of giving was given by Sister Angela in terms of how much Amazon pays zero taxes because they give and they donate. Remember, God's rule, and you cannot lose. Everything living is giving something. The tree gives shade and the grass gives oxygen. If we are truly living, we are giving. Back to you, Mark.
Yes, I want to say alhamdulillah. That is the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And as always, my dear sister, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, an excellent overview of some of the highlights. And I don't know, Allah put it on my heart to recite that poem years and years ago, I decided to commit it to memory because there's so many lessons. And I would just say to our radio listening audience, as you read the poem, hopefully that you're not one of those six human beings that's trapped by happenstance and you find a reason for denying. And because if in fact that you are or you know people like that, as Dr. Slaudine has said, you're actually dying when you're denying. And very, very important that when we look at Allah's creation, Allah is teaching us through the natural creation, If we study this natural creation, Allah is teaching us that everything that he has created is giving something. You may ask, well, what about the rock? I don't see the rock doing anything but just sitting there. Well, the human being with the intellect, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, has been the most useful and beneficial thing that Allah has created. This was said to the Prophet. And in that being so, the human intellect studies everything that's in Allah's creation. And when the human intellect studies, he's able to extrapolate something from the natural creation. So it's given him knowledge. It's given him knowledge how to put to use the various things that's in creation that sometimes we label as inanimate. That's inanimate. It still gives knowledge, and it has become a benefit and a mercy to us, as we cited last week, in looking at Al-Fatiha. We can say the first verse of Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, is introducing himself to us with the name of Allah, the Merciful Benefactor. That's Al-Rahman. the most merciful Redeemer. That's Al-Rahim. So Allah teaches us not only with the word of revelation that helps to redeem us when we go off path, but to bring us back to the straight way. He teaches us with Al-Rahim, the merciful benefactor. And this is how man is redeemed, you know. So if we would think about it like that, we won't succumb to the thinking that it had to be a man that had to give his life, shed his blood, to redeem the human being. Allah already had that in place from the very inception of the human being. And our whole life should be in terms of giving. As a matter of fact, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, Imam Muhammad told us many years ago that part of the fitra, the original nature, is that of servitude, of servitude. That's a part of the original nature of human beings. And the question becomes, who and what will this human being serve? Now, if we stay in accordance with the fitra, the original nature, in terms of servitude, we will serve our Lord and Creator for providing this life for us and giving us guidance to this life. So Allah is constantly giving, constantly giving. And when we begin to start to just think about, you know, dhikr Allahu Akbar, thinking and remembering Allah in terms of reading the Quran and all what it is Allah has given to us that we're conscious of and those things that he has given to us that we are unconscious. So generosity, as far as I'm concerned, it begins with our Lord and Creator, Rabbil Alameen, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. I'll stop there, and I know tonight we're going to be on the indispensable essential quality of initiative, Dr. Salahuddin, and I know you highlighted some things out of the publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell, and I'm excited to hear some of these things. I want to say to our radio listening audience, this is your learning lab, so we invite you to press 1. If you have a question or a comment on anything Dr. Salahuddin or myself may say tonight, we do invite you to press 1. And for those of you who may just sit quietly and taking good notes and you're really benefiting from what is being given, once again, back to generosity, what is being given, we would love to hear from you. It's no more than just giving the greetings of peace, or assalamu alaikum, and let it be known that you are appreciative of this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Back to you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin.
Thank you, Mark. And I wanted to add to that statement about asking the radio audience to participate. That's a part of giving. That's that generosity. So you'll be actually giving your charity, and especially in this case, in this evening when Brother Mark is struggling with his voice. So you, that would be a great generous service on your part to share your thoughts and give your ideas. The initiative quality is discussed by John C. Maxwell, and I'm going to share with you the very first thought that he has, or the very first point he has, is change your mindset. And that I thought that one is something to talk about. Even though I usually share all of them at one time, I want to stop and talk about that one. Change your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at how we think, and I wanted, as you were talking about generosity, reviewing the generosity and the different things of how Allah is generous to us. Well, you know, Allah has given us everything that we have, and each one of us have something special.
think unique, and we have certain skills that we have developed, but Allah gave us those skills in the first place. He has given us ideas. He gives us thoughts. And so what do we do with that? And that's where that word initiative comes in. It's when you take action independently. You address a need. You do something independently. No one is telling you to do it. You do it on your own. Initiative. So when we take what Allah has given us and we move on that, we take an action on our own independently of other people telling us what to do, then that's showing initiative. And if our mindset is we got to wait for somebody to tell us what to do, that's when we need to change that mindset. And that's the point that I think that he's making with the changing your mindset. Make sure that your mind is a mind that says, if Allah has given me this, let me act upon it. If Allah has shared this with me, has given me this skill, let me act upon it. If Allah has given me this idea, let me act upon it. Do not sit on the idea. And don't be afraid. Take a risk. That's one of the other things is taking a risk. Don't be afraid, because when Allah gives you something, trust me, if he gives you something, he's going to see you through it. If he gives you something to do, he will help you to do it, because that's where you get your help from anyway, from Allah. We think we get it. Sometimes we mistakenly think that we're getting help from other people. But no, we're getting our help from Allah through other people.
Yes.
But our help is coming from Allah. So taking initiative is an act of obedience. That's how I see it. It's an act of obedience. You are being obedient to your Creator, who has given you this skill, this idea, this talent. Take initiative and work with it. Those are my thoughts on that, Mark.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Praise and thanks belongs to Allah for that. Allah bless you with some, I think, some very deep insight and wisdom that you're sharing with us, Dr. Salal Zing. And, you know, as you were speaking, you know, as this is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and in terms of how do we teach that to our children so that this becomes a part of them. If we're raising our children up, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it that should be being raised up in them? So you can't be an effective leader for yourself, nor your family, nor your community, and most certainly you never can ascend to become a world leader without that principle, indispensable quality of initiative. When we think about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that this was a part of the indispensable essential qualities that he possessed in taking the initiative to do what it is that Allah had given to him, and to be able to teach the people. Action speaks louder than words, as you say. So many people at that time came to the fold of Al-Islam. We know the story, very popular story, a narrative about the woman who either put garbage on the Prophet or at his door, I don't know which, but it's narrated in the Surah of the Prophet. And so one day there was no garbage. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, he inquired, where is she? And the question was, where is who? The woman that dumps garbage on me and all. And he was informed that she was sick. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, take me to her. And when he was taken to this woman, I'm quite sure that she felt very surprised, and even more surprised and what the prophet said to her. Unlike many people who may would have said, that's what you get for being disrespectful to God's messenger. But he didn't say that. And he didn't try to rub that in her face in terms of illness or sickness. He said to her, when I found out that you were sick, I wanted to come and visit you to see what it is that I could be a help to you, what it is that I could do for you to help you. And because of what he said and what he did, she took her Shahada Tain right there on the spot. Now, this is only one narrative of many in the Sirah or the life of the Prophet Muhammad. But taking an initiative, this is why the Prophet Muhammad is the Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, not only because he received the word of revelation, that's irrefutable, indisputable, but he's also Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, because of the demonstration of the Quran, taking the initiative to live the Quran, to be an example not only for the people of his time, but for all times to come. I started with that in terms of seeing this, and so how is it that we teach our children in terms of taking the initiative? We have to say to them, actions speak louder than words. And as Dr. Salahuddin indicated, that Allah, going back to the previous indispensable essential quality of a leader, generosity, you probably have noticed now that these indispensable essential qualities, they're interrelated. They intertwine. If we can see how the generosity that Allah extends to us, that we must take the initiative to utilize those presents, the talent, the gifts that Allah has given to us, not only for ourselves, but for our family, our community, and yes, the world of humanity at large. We must take the initiative to utilize those things, because we have to say to our children that one day we will be questioned, what did you do with what it was that I gave to you? Everybody can see it, you know, and even sometimes we see it, but we've seen people who Allah has blessed in abundance with his generosity, but they did nothing with what it was. They didn't take the initiative to use it. So I think that we should start there, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, in looking at all viable, effective leaders. We can look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We can look at Imam W.D. Muhammad. We had an excellent presentation on Dr. George Washington Carver. What if Dr. George Washington Carver didn't take the initiative with what he was blessed with? And he actually asked for this, and Allah blessed him with it. But look, as a result of him taking the initiative, how this not only benefited this country, America, but benefited the whole world in many of the products that was derived from being the scientist, as Imam Muhammad said, the scientist. The scientist is the see into this, the see into this, the see into this, and the see into that, and then extrapolate from that, and then bring other byproducts from that. It was a benefit for all human beings. So we have to point these things out to our children, that Allah has not shortchanged any of us. He has not shortchanged any of us. He's given all of us some type of expertise, some type of special skill, some type of special talent, some type of special present, some type of precious gift that we ultimately have to unwrap We have to unwrap. You know, most gifts come wrapped up. So you have to unwrap. Mm-hmm. You have to unwrap the gift. And then once you realize what that gift is, it is incumbent upon you to take the initiative and to share it. You know, years ago I learned a little short poem on the four levels of knowing, and it went somewhat like this. He who knows not, but knows not that he knows not, but he think he knows, is a fool. And it said in the poem that you should shun those type of people. And then the second level, well, he who knows not, but he knows that he knows not, that's a child. You can teach him. And then the third level, he who knows, but he uses not what he knows. And he's asleep. You have to awaken him. And then the fourth level is, but he who knows, and he knows that he knows, and he uses what he knows, is a leader. You can follow him. I could say in my life I had really two very proficient leaders. That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam W.D. Muhammad. And from Imam W.D. Muhammad, that is where I learned about the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, that he is a leader for all of humanity for all times. I'm going to stop with that, but I think it's very important that we convey this to our children in a way that they can understand that it's not just only important to have something, but what is it that you're going to do with it, and that requires initiative. Dr. Salahuddin, back to you.
Okay. I think there's a hand up.
Let's go to the caller and see what they have. And we do invite all of you. Raise your hand. Press 1. You got a question or comment. We'd love to hear from you. So, Dr. Slaudine, let's see what the caller have on their mind. They're taking the initiative to press 1.
Okay. We have 706-627. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yeah, unmute yourself there. I think I know that number. I think that might be Brother Muhammad. We can't hear you, bro. Take yourself off of mute. I might be wrong.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
what's that number?
Thank you much.
There we go. Assalamu alaikum. We hear you now. Go ahead.
Well,
your question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a quick comment since we're dealing with initiative. When we see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, holy Iqra, he took the initiative to hear and obey.
Mm-hmm.
And for 23 years, he had, by Allah's permission, the type of focus, the type of initiative,
mm-hmm.
to know that what he left behind him, all of his caravans, all of his riches, all his opportunities, good name, everything that he already had, he seen that it was better to not let those things interfere with his hearing and obeying what Allah was telling him. So we got 23 years, and he made it clear in those 23 years that he was a back room just like us. Whatever he's doing, if we listen to Allah the way that he has demonstrated, it should take only 23 years. But being us not on that type of level, and we got Shaitan on the job dealing with these things to help take advantage of the overthrow of the office of Khalifa, which he finished in his street for 23 years.
Yes.
But if you take that another 23 years, if those who had held the office of Khalif, could you imagine where the respite of Shaitan might have ended right there in that second 23 years? If the people, after the Prophet Islam, followed his model, example of the capabilities and potential of a sincere, focused Muslim who was following the same guidance from Allah Subhanahu that he did, maybe 28, 29 years. We think a lot that it only took 33 years for Imam Muhammad. Even with all the obstacles and everything he had, he still made sure that he stayed focused enough that he, as quick as he possibly can, without the miracles, without the extra help from Allah SWT that he gave his messengers and prophets, because he wanted Imam Muhammad, the Mujahideen had to stand up on their faith, you know, and keep focus like we're saying now. Keep focus on Allah. This is what we got to do. At least in their first 23 years under our care.
Alhamdulillah.
I'm talking about born Muslim.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. But thank you, Brother Muhammad. I think you're making a very sharp point here. And then as this is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, you know, we want to take what it is that we're saying to our children and put it in a way so that they understand how important this quality that we're talking about, initiative, is. You can't be an effective leader without taking initiative. I just asked a rhetorical question. Have we ever seen a leader that didn't have that quality and just was complacent or apathetic? You know, they're just complacent and they're apathetic. Well, you can't lead anybody. You can't even lead yourself if, in fact, that you don't have this interpersonal quality. This is really indispensable. Indispensable means that it's very essential, that it's mandatory that you have that in being a leader. And as I look at all of these qualities that we go over in the Learning Lab here in terms of parenting and family reconstruction Learning Lab, if parents would begin to see themselves as teachers and leaders for our children, and if they're consciously regardful in terms of having taqwa, then this is how we teach them. We teach them through the religion itself and the instructions that we said before, the word idea, how our children learn, but also how we teach. We teach with instructions. Well, our instructions come from the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us instructions for the construction of human life. And then we teach our children by demonstration of that. They may be so very young, they never heard of the Prophet Muhammad. But the way we teach them is by exemplifying the actions, the demeanor, the character that he personified, you know. And we provide experiences for them so that they can learn these qualities. And then after we provide those experiences for them, we want them to be able to assess those experiences. This is how our children learn, but this is also, in that acronym, IDEA, I-D-E-A, this is also how we teach. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, for calling in and participating. Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we appreciate you always being a participant. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out and keep the studio clear. And Rashid Salam, do we have any other callers with their hands up and want to make a comment or not?
Not at this time, Mark. We're clear.
Okay, Dr. Salahuddin, let's try to maybe say, get through something else, maybe a couple of other things that you want to bring out that you highlighted on this indispensable quality of a leader. I can't foresee anybody saying that they're a leader, not even a parent. And we need to change the mindset in terms of how we see ourselves as a parent. A parent is a teacher, and a parent is a leader. And Allah has given the honor and distinction, as you often hear me say, has given the honor and distinction after himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first teacher. He's the first teacher of all human beings, but he's given the honor and distinction of teaching to the female, to the mother. Not only is she the first teacher for both our baby girls and baby boys, but she is the first leader. Yeah, you need to take note of that, because this is very important. Because if, in fact, that this becomes our mental attitude and also the disposition, being God-conscious parents, and we begin to see ourselves in raising our children up to become leaders for themselves, family, and community, then we're going to produce better children, better citizens, and the return will be great for the investment of the time that we put in teaching them these indispensable, essential qualities of a leader. Dr. Salahuddin, anything else you'd like to share with us?
Okay. Yes, Mark. The points that Maxwell make is that the initiative, the initiator knows what they want.
Mm.
And I thought about something very comical. I thought about a toddler. A toddler, especially the two-year-old, if we observe them, we can see that they know exactly what they want. And they initiate what they want, right? They'll be our teacher. They will initiate what they want, and they know what they want, and they will go out to get what they want, which is another point that he made. They push themselves to act. Well, the toddler, if you ever dealt with a toddler or a two-year-old, when they want something, nothing stops them, right? So when we talk about initiator, they are the great examples of initiators, and they don't mind taking risks. They will do, you know, that's why they have parents to watch and help them out, because they will not mind taking a risk. And, of course, they make mistakes, but it doesn't bother them at all. They move right along. So I thought about that when I was reading the points that Maxwell was making about the about making big steps in becoming an initiator. I would like to add to the point that you were making about how to teach our children to take initiative. And, of course, you've covered modeling or demonstrating. The children, again, must see us being taking initiative as parents. They must see us stepping out and doing things without someone telling us to do it. They must see us leading ourselves first, be a leader of ourselves. They must see us being leaders in the community. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're president of something, but if you take the initiative, even if you are in a committee, and you take the initiative to do something within that committee or within that group, then your child, inshallah, will see that. Let them try to do things on their own, for themselves. And of course, you'll be on the side guiding them along, but let them do it. And I think in today's world, we tend to do things for our children. You know, we do everything for them. And I think that we as parents must become conscious of that, is that it's okay if the child fails. It's okay. I remember observing my daughter, one of my daughters, a child came home with a project to do, and she was in the kitchen working on this project, and the child was standing there. And I said, excuse me, whose project is this? So she wasn't even conscious of what she was doing. She says, oh, Khalil, come here and do this, you know. And I was thinking that happens. You know, we get so caught up in this has to be done right, and if I don't get in here and do it, it's going to mess it up. But we have to give them an opportunity to try something on their own and to do it on their own. And if they mess up, well, that's what mistakes are made for, to make them, you know. You make the mistake, you learn from the mistake, and you move on, you know. And
yes.
Then the other one is give positive, purposeful praise. We praise our children for what they do, but you need to praise them for the effort that they put in, not the results that they got. So sometimes
yeah.
they do things and they make a big mess out of it, and it doesn't come out the way they want it. But your praising will be on what effort they put in. I really like the way you worked every day on this project. You gave it extra time. When you praise the child, praise what they did. Not, oh, you're so smart. Oh, you're intelligent. That's not the kind of praise you want to give. You want to tell them, you really worked hard on this math problem, didn't you? Or you really studied for that exam, and you got a B or you got an A, whatever the case may be. You want to praise them for the effort that they put in, not the results. Or you're not telling them how smart they are. Because that's not what you want to do. And then the last thing, be patient. And I know when you gave us the acronym for parent, patient was one of them.
Yes.
Be patient with your child. They will not be initiators at their first time. They will not be initiators at 5. They won't be initiators at 6. It won't happen. It's a process. They will get there, but you have to be patient, and you have to be patient with yourself as well. So those are the points that I wanted to make about how to teach our children to take initiative.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's excellent, very very sharp points that you're making, and we still have a little time before we get to the top of the hour, so we are encouraging you to press 1 if you'd like to make a comment. Something struck me, Dr. Salahuddin, when we're teaching our children. You know, as a wordologist, I always work with words. And I don't like to use the word fail to children, as you say, the first attempt in learning. That's not fail. The fourth attempt in learning, that doesn't define fail. The fifth attempt in learning, that doesn't define fail. Or even the 14th attempt in learning, that doesn't define fail. You fail when it becomes your final attempt in learning. This is very important. This is noteworthy. For those who are listening in, please take note. Let our children know that the initiative or the drive in them to be able to succeed in what it is that they began, you fail only when it's your final attempt in learning, whereas that you give up. And to your point, Dr. Salahuddin, Allah has given us a special part of the mind that helps us take initiative. And that part of the mind is called imagination. Imagination. It inspires motivation and great ideas. It negates all the influences of negativity. Mm-hmm. There's 3 things in that acronym. So imagination inspires motivation, but it also inspires great ideas. Mm-hmm. And the third thing, it negates all the influences of negativity, meaning that a child can be what we call in a negative environment. But with imagination, they can see themselves being out of that. And so with imagination, it becomes inspiration to our children in terms of being motivated in great ideas and then acting on those things that comes to them in imagination. I think parents need to understand and realize how powerful tool that the Creator has given not only to us but our children. And sometimes we see that creative ability, like he was saying. And so we should be very complimentary to them for using their imagination. And even though it may not have come out the way they intended for it to come out, remember, fail only means The real definition of fail when it's your final attempt in learning, not your first attempt, not your fourth or fifth attempt, you know, in learning. I think it was, who was that, Edison, in terms of the light bulb.
Yes.
I've heard so many different reports, you know, how many times he tried and was unsuccessful. Some say almost 10,000 times. Each one was a learning experience, but he never gave up. And there's countless other examples in those who became leaders and took the initiative. Back to you here. I don't know how much time we got here. Where are we?
We have 9 minutes left.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... Back to you, Dr. Saladin. I just wanted to add that, and hopefully we take note of that when we're teaching our children in terms of taking initiative and looking at what is really the word fail. And it's all the time we might not be successful and what it is that we're trying to do the first time or the fourth or fifth time, but the tenacity and the conviction that we have is very, very important, and we should continue on and never give up, never quit, never give up. And this is what we have to teach our children. Do not be afraid, you understand, to take the initiative, and even if it doesn't come out right the first time, continue on until you improve, you improve, you improve. I'll stop with that. Back to you, Dr. Saladin.
Okay, Mark, I hope you have some lemon nearby or some lemon water nearby for your throat.
Yeah. I know I'm sounding real bad,
know.
So... I hope that radio
No, you don't sound bad. You just you're talking a lot, so I'm concerned about your about your throat. You know, but yeah, I wanted to say that you know, sometimes we think about failure, and it's to me, it's a, if we look at it a different way, it's not so much a failure. Is that this is not, you know, we say we plan and Allah plans. So when we, that plan didn't work out, maybe that's not what Allah had planned for us. And perhaps we should look at, well, what can I learn from this? You know, as you mentioned before, you gave the acronym, I cannot say it the way you said it, but you made the mistake is when you don't take something, don't take a lesson from it. That's
you're mistaking something from the experience. That's what mistake.
Exactly.
The only real
exactly.
mistake is when you mistaking something from the experience.
Right. There you go. And so when we talk about failure, that's more or less if you know maybe what you were striving for wasn't what Allah had planned for you to do. And perhaps if we make an assessment of the situation, perhaps it's something that we can take that in a different direction. If we make note of that, so this is not the direction. Maybe there's another direction I'm supposed to go into, and pursue that because. Basically, that's what happened to these people who make inventions. They go down a path that doesn't work out. They go another path that doesn't work out. They go another path. They don't stop moving though, and that's what we want to teach our children. Don't stop moving. Keep it moving. Find the next step. Find the next opportunity. Don't wait for someone to give you an opportunity. Find the opportunity. Go out for it. That's taking initiative. You need money. There's no one offering
You go to no one offering a job, no one is coming to your door offering you a job, go and find one. If you can't find one, think of something that you can do that you could solve a problem or provide a service for someone and you get paid for it. So it's just teaching our children to see things in a different light. I mean, today it's so important that our children learn to be to take initiative. It helps them to become better people. It helps them to become effective leaders, and it helps them have a purpose in life. You know, if we teach them that purpose in life is to serve Allah and to serve Allah alone, to serve God and to serve God alone, if we can teach them that, then their initiatives, their independent actions will be influenced by that way of thinking. That I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve Allah. I'm here to do it, and to do it with commitment, with sincerity. And this their initiatives will be influenced by that. And they will definitely be successful because that's what Allah has promised us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I just want to say is that, you know, we talk about examples of initiatives, and we mentioned one of the people that we don't talk about that much in terms of initiative was Lady Khadija.
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Yes, please
Lady
talk about
Khadija.
Lady Khadija.
Yes. We need to talk about Lady Khadija and her initiative. She was the one that initiated she offered a job to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she initiated the the marriage.
Yes.
So the initiator, we want to bring her into the picture, Lady Khadija, as being an initiator. And mm-hmm. I also want to say that in our community, in terms of initiation, we're beginning to see how there are people in our community are taking the step to teach. They're taking their skill and the things that Allah has taught them and they've learned. They have taken that and now they're teaching others. So we have lots of classes, Quran classes, Arabic classes initiated by members of our community. They're teaching us. They're teaching each other. And then, most of all, we have so many people in our community who have taken the initiative to join those classes and to be a part of that. And then we have people starting schools in our community. There are people who recognize that the schools need funding. We have the 150 initiated by Imam Adam Baya. We have people starting credit unions, people starting cities. You know, it's so many things are happening, people are initiating. And this is wonderful to see because that grows the community, and it really, really puts us on a different plane. I thank you for letting me share that.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yeah, some valuable points that you actually are sharing. I always say, knowing
we have a hand
is
right
showing. Yes, is there somebody?
Yeah, we do have a hand.
I know we're right at the top of the hour. Do we have somebody in the queue there, Rashid?
Yes, sir, we do. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to ask the caller to be very, very brief, less than a minute, more like 45, 30 seconds, if you would, because we're right at the top of the hour. So let's
very
go to the call.
Well, we have 219-484. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, it's Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana. I just want to quickly say in a few seconds, you know, you're speaking of role models or exposure as an initiative. Just recall that great African proverb that says it takes a whole village, and that village is what needs to be defined. You know, and definition is is instruction or direction in order to come to ultimate conclusion. So with that, you know, just looking at that village as exposures, the more exposures, positive, obviously, exposures we give as role models.
Alhamdulillah.
For the people to hear and see and aspire to be.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, walaikum assalam. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal, for that. Wish you could have got in a little earlier. We're right at the top of the hour, but that's very, very important point that you made in terms of role model. So, Dr. Salahuddin, we're right at the top of the hour. I'm going to give you right at a minute or less for any closing remarks that you'd like to leave our radio listening audience with here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Dr. Salahuddin. Take yourself off of mute.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I was talking to myself. I wanted to say that in 1986, the Imam Worthy Muhammad made this statement. The kind of environment we live in today demands more of the individual to do, due to the conveniences that we have. And that sometimes it's hard for people to be, to take initiative because there's so many conveniences. Everything is there for them. He said, but this environment demands more initiative in terms of self-responsibility. So we have to take the responsibility for ourselves and be responsible for ourselves and take the initiative to do things that is necessary to make our family and our community productive. And that's what I wanted to say. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And a very befitting closing remarks about you, Dr. Salahuddin. I want to just say we do thank you and appreciate you and what it is that you share each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and sharing your insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with. And I know our radio listening audience do appreciate you also. And so until next week, I'm going to extend the greetings of peace to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah heal
you. Alhamdulillah. There you have it, the first hour here at the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we do thank our radio listening audience for tuning in, listening to that, and also the participation from those. Before we shift gears and get to the MGM roundtable, I just want to make sure that you know there's always programming here on IWDM Radio, as the Sister Learning Lab will be tomorrow, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, joins me each and every Thursday here starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. We do ask that you tune in as we'll be on the lines of the acronym of RIPPLE, which is equality. And there's a lot of great information in equality. So we ask that you do tune in tomorrow. And as we transition now to the MGM Roundtable. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadin abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And each and every Wednesday evening here on IWDM Radio, I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And no less today, as we have as the roundtable, my very distinguished, esteemed guest, who is a 17-year-old, a senior in the STEM program here in the Gateway City of St. Louis, and she carries a 4.3 GPA, and also the star point guard on her basketball team. And after hearing her grandmother give me information about her, Allah put it on my heart to say she has to be a guest here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And so I invited her, Safiya Reed, and also her parents, Erica and Tom Reed, to be with her on this roundtable. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to all of them. Assalamu alaikum to you, Safiya, Erica, and Tom. Okay. I want to say to all of you all, and especially Safiya, that this is a great honor to have you as my guest here on the MGM Roundtable. As you heard me say in the prelude, always, the people that get on the roundtable are movers and shakers in our community. And the thing that was very striking to me, in mainstream media, our scholars, our students that are excelling academically get little or no recognition. It's so unfortunate. They get little or no recognition. And even for the African-American community, seem like those who have athletic ability are sought after more so in terms of getting the notoriety than those who are outstanding academic achievers. And so to have a person that's excelling academically with a 4.3 GPA and also with that balance, being an outstanding basketball player, the point guard for her team, and all, I thought it would be fitting to have you as my guest. So once again, Safiya Reed, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. And I know you have a lot of family and friends listening in, and they know about you, and I know something about you, but we have a lot of listeners across the country and outside of this country that are listening to you tonight that don't know who is Safiya Reed. So my first question to you, if you would, is give the radio listening audience something about yourself, Safiya. What is it you'd like to say to our radio listening audience as to who Safiya Reed is? Once again, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like I said, and thank you for having me. My name is Safiya Reed. I'm a 17-year-old student athlete. Not only do I play basketball, but I run track as well. I am a senior in high school, attending STEM Academy at McClellan Berkeley, with, as you said, a current GPA of 4.3. I also attend St. Louis Community College as a part of my dual enrollment program. I go to college in the morning to take classes, then in the afternoon I attend my high school. This academic path has helped me to be able to graduate with 30 college credits. I am a proud Muslim and a firm believer in Allah and what he has written for me. My goals for the future would be to graduate from college with my doctorate in physical therapy and a minor in business. My career goals are to become a well-founded physical therapist that works on patients and range from athletes to geriatrics. I also aspire to open my own private practice. I have a strong support system that includes my parents, Tom and Erica, my brother, Khalees, my grandparents and great-grandparents, and the rest of my family.
Wow. All I can say, you know, this is really outstanding and amazing that not only you're in your senior year in terms of STEAM, and that's to make sure I'm a little under the weather tonight, so I want to be clear. Not STEM, as a lot of people know, but STEAM is STEAM, and that's science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics academy that she's attending, I think you say, here in Berkeley. But you're also, Safiya, going and taking college courses and getting credits for those, and then you're coming back to your school later on in the day and also taking courses there. And you're playing basketball and all. So I want to ask you this question. Let's start, you know, somewhat from the beginning. From your recollection, when you began to really make a determination as to what you want to do, and obviously carrying a 4.3 GPA, your strive for excellence is actually there and all. Has this been all throughout your academic career from your very inception in going to school, Safiya?
Yes, it has.
And so it, also in terms of your inspiration and motivation, was it any outside inspiration or motivation, or was it just something within you to say, I want to excel in all the subjects that I take, I want to do the best, I want to be among the best, or what? How do you, what would you say to our radio listening audience? Because this is remarkable, what it is that you're doing, and having maintained this for a certain period of time that you have been able to maintain this all the way to your senior year in school and actually beginning to take college courses. Please give our radio listening audience something in terms of your inspiration and motivation, Safiya.
Well, I've always been attracted to just learning, and from as long as I can remember, I love going to school and just learning and knowing more about the things I don't know. The unknown is very interesting to me. So I've also have two very educated parents that have motivated me to become just as educated as them and hopefully beyond that, as well as my older brother and my grandmother. I've just always been around very smart people, so that's one of me helped me to want to be just as smart as them and hopefully even smarter than them one day.
Well, I want to say it seems like, Safiya, you're on the path of that, and I want to also say to you, perhaps you may not have known this with you only being 17, but that used to be the way of the parents and the grandparents. They always wanted to see the children to do better and to excel them in whatever it is that they have accomplished, to actually excel them. And that should be the hope and the prayer of each upcoming generation, to do a little bit better than the present generation and all. So it's good, you know, that you said that the family support that you have, very, very important, and they've been a part of your inspiration, motivation. Let me ask you this. With the STEAM program that you're in, out of those things, what is the thing that's been most attractive to you? Has it been the science, the technology, engineering, art, or math, or all of them to a degree?
Well, it's been all of them to a degree for sure, but mostly science. That's been my favorite subject since I was younger in kindergarten when we started science in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And because, of course, that includes the medical field. When I got to STEAM, I was placed into the biomedical program for the pathways, because you have to have a pathway if you attend that school, and that really intrigued me to want to be in the medical field.
Okay. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Now, in a preliminary interview, you said to me that this is only your second year. So your first 2 years, what high school did you attend? And really, what motivated you to want to make this transition, Safiya?
My first 2 years of high school, I attended Trinity Catholic High School. Just after my sophomore year, my family and I just decided that it wasn't a good fit for me anymore, even though I really did love the school. Academically, STEAM was just a better option for me, and I really do enjoy learning at that school.
Okay. So it was more or less like a family decision, but ultimately you had the last word in terms of you wanted to make that transition. Is that correct?
Yes, of course.
Okay, very good. Let's get your parents in here and all. I don't just have them on for just support because I think you can handle yourself very well as we're listening to you here. And want to say to our radio listening audience, you that may tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio. And you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And my very distinguished, esteemed guest is Safiya Reed, accompanied by her parents, Erica and Tom Reed. So if you have questions or comments that you'd like to make, you can begin to start lining up, and you press 1, and my engineer will alert me. And for those who may be listening by way of the Internet, you have to call in to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, if you're listening by way of the Internet, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. So, Erica, I want to go to you first. I know that you have to be a very proud mother and very proud father of Safiya. When did you first notice anything different or unique about her? And as she said that from the very inception, she never lost the zeal, the enthusiasm, if you will, in terms of actually wanting to learn. When did it first dawn on you, Erica, that this is a special child here?
Well, first off, I'm Lincoln Mort.
Well, Lincoln Mort.
I would say that, you know, actually, I have two, Khalif Reed and Safiya Reed, both of my children, and both very, very bright individuals.
Yes.
But, you know, with Safiya, she, I would say almost at birth, it's going to sound crazy, but she was pretty aggressive with everything that she wanted to do. From the very beginning. So whether that meant, with the exception of talking, with the exception of walking, she wanted to be carried. But talking, as far as talking and really letting us know what it is that she wanted to do or wanted to eat or whatever the case may be, she was very assertive in knowing what she wanted very early on. So in terms of her intelligence or intellect, whatever, I remember saying very early on, I was talking to Khalif and a cousin of mine, Aaliyah, and we were all kind of writing down, the two of them were writing down something, then Safiya wanted to be a part of, and I said, Safiya, you can't be a part of this right now because you can't write. And she said, Mom, I can write. I said, you can? Because we hadn't taught her. But she completely started, she could write her name at that point, and she couldn't have been any more than I'm going to say 2 maybe. And so, but her dad, you know, I would say Tom always knew that she, you know, was very high intellect, putting puzzles together at a very early age, things like that. And so, and then when we got into school, she was considered an early reader, tested for gifted programs very early on. And she was in robotics. I don't know if you've ever heard of
yes.
that, the robotics
heard
program.
Of it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So she was in those types of programs very early on. And so, you know, as parents, we just didn't really get off into those. She's gifted. We just like, she's a fire to us. But teachers would tell us, you know, teachers would always tell us that she was, you know, very intelligent, high marks on most testings and things of that nature. So, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So, Tom, you know, I want to hear something from you. When did you first notice it, Sophia first raised your eyebrow, if you will?
Okay, assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having me on this show.
Well,
I used to read to her all the time, and then after mm-hmm. a certain point, she started reading the books by herself without me being there. So then it turned to me just having her read to me every night at a very young age. So like around 3 or 4, she was reading books to me. It was a higher level book than what she was supposed to be reading. So at that point, I was like, she's a little different than most kids.
Yeah, so you was able to see that. You was able to see that early on, you know, and that burning desire in her. And as Missy described, I wasn't going to say Missy, but I'm so used to saying Erica. Well, this goes back for a long way, you know. But Erica, you know, saying that she noticed this early on, that even at the age of 2 years old, and a burning desire to really want to learn, I think is, and never losing that. You know, this is something, as probably both of you are aware of, that the Creator has put this in all children, the natural curiosity, the desire to want to know, and the desire for excellence, but somewhere along the line that they lose that. And there's no desire to really want to know, and there's no desire to want to excel academically. But I think it's marvelous that she has maintained and sustained that for all throughout her academic career as a student. I'll go back to you here, Sophia. I got to ask you something about, you know, being on the court, although my focus is really in terms of being a scholar-athlete. That seems to be a very daunting challenge, if you will, in terms of having that balance and all, maintaining a 4.3 GPA and then playing basketball and all of this that you do. I got to ask this question because I know our radio listener audience want to know, how are you able to do that, and do you prioritize, do you organize your schedule or what? I'm very curious to want to know, and I'm quite sure many out there will want to know, how do you do that and then excel both academically? And you're a point guard, and from what I'm told, that you handle a basketball like the great globetrotter Curly Neal. As I rightly call him Curly Neal, he didn't have no hair on his head, but he could really dribble a basketball, and he was like a point guard and a playmaker for his team. So please, Sophia, grace us with that insight that you have had, and you've been playing basketball for quite a few years and being an outstanding basketball player. So how do you balance that, Sophia?
I've been playing basketball since I was 4 years old, so just similar to academics, has always been a part of my life. And
mm-hmm.
actually, it helps me to be balanced versus getting me off course, because when I have a lot of things going on, I'm able to be more precise in what it is that I do. And
mm-hmm.
being that I actually enjoy playing basketball and it's something that I'm passionate about and become passionate about over the years, it helps me to keep that same mindset when I go into academics or anything else outside of basketball.
Well, Wow. So is there a prioritization, there's organization? Talk about that. I mean, obviously to excel academically and also excel on the basketball court, how do you do that? I mean, how do you do that with excellence in both? Is it that you organize, prioritize what it is you do? What's your schedule? Share with the radio listeners. What is your schedule, Sophia? You know, maybe through the week, and I'm thinking that some of your games are on the weekend or through the week or what. How do you balance that?
Well, I've been very disciplined throughout the years. I have my parents and friends and teammates to help me out with that, especially my coaches, since they understand my academic goals. They're able to help me with that through my athletic goals as well. I'm a very huge planner as well. I don't like to be late or things to not be on time, so I'm very meticulous about those type of things. But just on a regular day for me, I will wake up and probably on the weekends I do a light workout in the morning, but on a weekday I will go to my college class in the morning, then I will go to high school in the afternoons, and after school I would do my practice, and when I get home from practice I do my homework. But I do utilize the time between practice and me getting out of school to do my study hall and studying and things like that, so that I don't have much on me when I'm practicing. I could just practice with, you know, a clear mind without worrying about the test I have the next day or an assignment due because I've already studied for it or finished the assignment.
Yes, and I'm thinking that you're not doing a full time at high school, because I'm thinking being an outstanding student, if you have the required necessary credits and all right now, and then you're saying how you utilize the study hall to your advantage in terms of getting your homework done. So if it is a basketball game or, I guess, a basketball practice, you're able to do that. So what time do you retire at night, generally speaking? I'm quite sure you're probably disciplined in that too, Sophia.
Well, that's probably the only thing that I'm not disciplined about. I usually get home and I talk to my parents. Me and my mom talk a lot. We talk each other to death, and then I do my rehab and stuff like that, and then I usually get to sleep around 12 on a school night, and then I wake up, and I'm right back at it.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Now, we got to flip the script a little bit here. You know, obviously, being a scholar, and I call it a scholar, just not an ordinary student here, carrying a 4.3 GPA, obviously there's been some colleges and perhaps universities have been interested in you in regards academically. And I don't know, on the basketball court, as being a point guard, I do know a little something about basketball. The point guard kind of like is the quarterback of the team, you know, getting everybody involved in the game and everything with assist and all. I don't know in terms of what your average per game is and all. But these colleges and universities that have invited you to attend their school, and applications that you may have made across the country, as you want to, your goal is to become a physical therapist. So, Grace, I read your listening audience, if you would, Sophia, with maybe some of the offers that have come to you from various schools across the country, and maybe also where you have applied. And I know that you said that you haven't settled on any school, and you're going to kind of wait it out until perhaps next month, and then you will make a decision as to what school you'll be attending. So please let us know some of the schools, if you will, that are inviting you to come to their school. And is it an academic scholarship, or is it an athletic scholarship, or they want to invite you to be a part of just their team or what? What offers have been made to fire?
Athletically, I have over 15 offers that range from JUCOs to D2s, but academically, I've been accepted into a lot of schools, and so far I have academic scholarships to Dillard University in New Orleans, Langston University in Oklahoma, Mizzou, Murray State, and Fort Bond, to name a few. I have other pending scholarships to other schools that I'll know about over the next few weeks.
Mm, okay. So, yes. So, you still put in applications yourself in conjunction with those persons. And I'm thinking your counselor has a big hand in that, in terms of letting it be known the outstanding student that you are and everything. I want to, you know, go back to your parents again in terms of this decision-making. This time I'll start with you, Tom. I don't want Erica to think that I'm picking on her and starting with her all the time. In terms of decision-making, Tom, how much influence do you think that you as a father should actually have in her decision-making, or do you just leave it up to her to make the decision, or as a father, as an advisor or counselor? And how would that decision actually be made, Tom?
Well, actually, it's going to be Sophia's decision. She's going to captain the ship, so to speak. And
uh-huh.
What we do is go through the pros and cons of each school as opposed to looking at what she wants to do. Does this school fit her major and what she wants to do once she's done with school? And also if they have the athletics that she's looking for as well. So we're going to sit down as a collective and go through the pros and cons and see what's best for.
Yes. So, in other words, you're saying in terms of the pros and cons, in terms of her selection, what would benefit her more in the long run in terms of her endeavor as a physical therapist? I'm quite sure you look at the scholarship that's going to be offered, how much they're willing to give, and probably looking at maybe a school that wants to give a free ride, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Excuse me. Okay, Erica, your comments on it.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Mark?
Your comments on the decision-making, how do you see it?
Well, for Sophia and I, we talk quite a bit. It's 24/7 over here. We talk about her future and the things that she wants to do and accomplish and whatnot. But as Tom said, ultimately it is Sophia's decision. We do guide her as best we can, but we don't guide her away from what she wants to do. We guide her in the direction she wants to go. So if she is saying that she wants to do HBCU, then we're going to put on a track that helps her achieve her goals to go to HBCU. If she wants to go to a different school, or you know, if she changes her mind and she's not sure if she wants to be a physical therapist, then, you know, we'll get her on a track where it leads her to, like I say, ultimately to where she wants to go and what she wants to do. So, you know, we have a lot of space for her to make those decisions, to make to have some indecisions.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we just don't put a lot of pressure because we know it's all going to pan out in the end. So we don't put a lot of pressure on her to, you know, have a firm date other than maybe deadlines for scholarships. You know, if she knows it's a possibility she wants to go to a specific school, then we have to make sure that she's meeting deadlines to apply for specific scholarships. But in terms of her ultimate, where she ends up going, where she lands, that's going to solely be Sophia's decision. So if she wants to go far,
so how do they line, yeah,
support,
I was gonna, So
yeah,
say,
if she wants to go four, we'll let her go four. I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, it seemed like you and your husband are congruent in terms of actually it being ultimately her decision, but you all just happened to navigate and bringing up certain points and everything in helping her with her decision making, but you're leaving it pretty much up to her as to where she wants to attend. Because actually, when you leave high school and you begin your college career and all, I think that by that time, and of course you have two children with such bright intellects, outstanding intellects, in terms of what it is that they actually want to do. So they have arrived at the point whereas they can make a very intelligent choice, but you as parents, you know, being counselors and advisors, if you will, in terms of helping to navigate, I think that's very, very important, but leaving it ultimately to her. I want to say to our radio listening audience, you are listening to WDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable tonight, and I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest, Sophia Reed, accompanied by her parents, Erica and Tom Reed. And if you have any questions or comments, this is the time to press 1. I know some of you out there, you are hearing this here. Oh, we got some callers in the queue because I still got questions for Sophia. So we're going to – I'm going to relinquish this, and I do apologize of all nights coming down with something. So hopefully I'm being heard very clearly. So we're going to go to our engineer, Rashid Salam. Who do we have in the queue that want to make a comment or ask a question? Rashid?
Yep. Yes, sir. We have three hands raised right now, Mark. So I'm going to bring in area code 219-484. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, and this is Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana. I'd like to say assalamu alaikum to the Reed family.
Hey, that's all. Hey, that's
all.
Yes, I too am sort of connected to the Missouri family. I was fortunate to go to LU in Jefferson City and came out with a Bachelor of Science in Sociology and African American History in 1972. So I do have like a brotherly connection to the state of Missouri. So my comment is to specifically congratulate Sister Sophia on your accomplishments so far. You know, you mentioned early on that you had an eagerness, and Mark elaborated on that as well. You had an eagerness to learn and learn those things that you don't know. That was profound comment that you made early on, and that was like an initiation towards the urge in you, within you, and which is in all humans as well, but you elaborated on it and noted it as far as determined into conquer all oppositions that confront you. You were not afraid, so that showed your courage from the start, and as your dad mentioned, you begin to follow his example in learning by wanting to read. So he set an excellent model. In fact, the whole family environment, you know, you're really blessed to have that family surrounding that environment. We are products of our social and cultural environment, so you're there. And hopefully that will show all the listeners on the line and further to listen to this program how vital our social environment is towards being the village, that we should give exposures. And so those things are there. That network is there. And so there's a tremendous amount of assistance within in your environment that is encouraging you to move and continuously excel even your aims to really you're fighting against the negative peer pressures that not only the environment is the local environment, but the worldwide environment is there to stop people from growing and developing. So you're doing excellent. You know, Dr. Dewan Sukunju read an excellent book called Be Popular or Smart. And, you know, and so if you look at those adversities, that is a dire, difficult confrontation that people many times do not defeat it. And
yes.
And you're doing quite well. So continue.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Sure. Continue to strive hard at the things that you're doing, and may Allah continue to bless all of you with the aims and desires that you so desire. So thank you so much for the opportunity to hear and learn
yes.
from you as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal Rashid, for those comments. And Safiya, anything that you want to say or respond, anything before we go to the next caller?
I just want to say thank you and for taking interest in my story and for the encouraging words.
Yes, ma'am. Well, yeah, we thank Dr. Jamal. He is one of a very distinguished, esteemed host on the station I used to radio station I used to be with was AM 360, American Muslim 360 Radio, and he hosts, along with Henry Haseeb, a very outstanding production called Solutions for Critical Issues. That's every Thursday morning, starting at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. Central, and 4 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Solutions for Critical Issues with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Henry Haseeb is his co-host on AM 360 Radio. And that call-in number is 515-605-9891 every Thursday morning on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. So thank you so much, Dr. Jamal. Rashid, let's keep moving. Who else have their hand up and want to make a comment or ask a question to our distinguished guest, Safiya Reed? Rashid?
Yes, sir. We have 706-289. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
This is Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
And just wanted to share, since this year I had four of my granddaughters, all of the granddaughters, they all started college this year. And so the comment is to remember that all of us, you know, even your parents and our grandparents, if you have grandparents, we all are still learning how to please our Creator as we grow for the balance in this world here, and to also remember that we still have to learn more about what is allowed, what is forbidden in our way of life, what is okay to do in our life, and that goes in all topics, all subjects, all matters, and so that we can have your children will have the opportunity to be in a reconstruction period extended by your parents who helped get you motivating to get the best of the world knowledge, but get the best of the Creator of the world knowledge too, and learn how to depend upon making sure that your children will, inshallah, have their own school by the time they get your age to go to school, and make the sacrifice that we build the hospitals, the schools, the jobs that they need, the subjects that they need to study, you know, in the universal order of things. As we remember our destiny is to give, you know, Satan, our enemy of truth, his respite without becoming a casualty. You know.
Alhamdulillah. Okay,
so
thank
we
you
pray,
so much,
pray
Brother
along
Muhammad. Yeah, yeah,
yes,
Alhamdulillah.
Sir.
Thank you so much for calling in. And, giving those words of wisdom. And congratulations to you as a grandfather and your four granddaughters. And I pray a lot that they do well and make you and their grandmother very proud of them. So thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you exit the queue so we can keep the studio clear there. And we want to go to the next caller, Rashid. Who do you have the hands up? And this, by the way, this is your time to ask a question or make a comment. I know IWDM listeners don't always have special guests like Safiya Reed on. It's been a while since I've had adolescents on this. So we just talked about in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab last week, generosity and initiative, and we see that she is, in fact, a leader in terms of taking the initiative, as her mother say. She's very, very aggressive or assertive in knowing what it is that she wants. So I'd like to hear from you, and I think that she would love to hear from you, too. And
okay.
So we can always give the greetings, and we should see one child is our child, our children.
That's right.
And we should want to encourage them on, so I know that you can say something. Let's go, Rashid. Who do we have up next?
All right.
Hands up.
Yeah, me up next. That's who's up next. you almost took the words out of my mouth. I said, I'm looking to the family, and thank you for sharing and showing us what can happen if communities come together and build community life together. I just want to say this, that you on this, being on this broadcast today, you're developing a community family, because I feel like I'm part of you guys' family right now. And this legacy that you guys are leaving, I hope she stays around, but that's just my own personal thing, because I can see so many things that she can contribute to the city of St. Louis and young ladies, for that matter. The two things that caught my attention, not only does she play basketball, Mark, she runs track.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm glad you said that. I didn't know she
was amazing to me.
I'm trying to figure out how she have time for all that and excel and all that. I'm flabbergasted in terms of what she's been able to do. If that's not magic. Imagine time. I don't know what it is, Rashid.
I'm telling you. I just had a couple of things. Now, she said she had 30 college credits already, so you'll not know she's taking all her AP courses. How many languages do you speak, if you speak any? And I'm just saying, what a beautiful example for women. You know, it's not often enough do we see our young ladies excel in this matter. And so I just want to know, what are you doing to impress up on other young ladies, or are you part of any community groups or organizations? But I'm so attracted to the fact that you have your AP. My guess, if you got 30 college credits, you must have AP courses already taken care of. So you could probably graduate right now if you wanted to. But do you have any languages that you've taken up? And what can we do to help you? If you do leave town, we have to leave a scholarship in your honor, girl. I'm trying to tell you, somebody got to do something. These are stories that our community need to hear. I mean, they need to hear these types of things. And so we need to get her on radio more often, or you get her on radio station, Mark, one or the other. So I would leave it like that.
Yeah. Well, that's why she's here. Safiya, you heard that question that Rashid Salam asked you, and I'm anxious to know your answer to that, too. Any languages you may have taken along the way, or what?
I haven't taken anything outside of the basic Spanish requirements for my school, but as far as being a part of any groups, I'm not a part of any groups necessarily, but I do, as far as the teams, the many teams that I've been a part of and my classmates, I do, especially the ones closest to me, I'm sure to encourage them as well as, you know, they encourage me as well to be better people or better scholars and athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good. I remember when I was in school, which is a long, long time ago, I'm going to ask this question, and pardon my ignorance here. You know, they used to have for seniors a school book, you know, for the seniors when they graduate, and they used to have most likely to succeed in other things in that regard. I can't see how they could maybe bypass you if you wasn't most likely to succeed. Did perhaps you get voted in regards to that, or that hasn't happened yet, or does it still happen in high school?
Oh, yeah.
They haven't done those yet. Just yet, they might do it towards the end of the year. I'm guessing towards near the time we graduate, but I haven't heard anything about it just yet.
Okay, and I want to ask this here. I'm aware that you are really partial toward going to a HBCU school. How strong is that desire to want to attend HBCU school, and will that actually factor in your decision making? Even though you haven't decided as of yet, how strong of an influence will that be?
The HBCU experience is very strong impact has a very strong impact on me. The only thing that'll keep me from that is them not having my major. But outside of that, I'm very passionate about attending an HBCU.
You know, I'm so glad to hear that. I know my oldest granddaughter, Maya, she attended the HBC school there in Little Rock, and the year that she graduated, of course, they had the COVID-19, so the graduation was postponed until last year. And we all went to Little Rock, Arkansas, to be there to support her, and her desire endeavor is to be an attorney, and a specialized attorney for intellectual properties. You know, they got so many now, you know, in law and medicine now, it's the age of specialization and all. And it's ironic that you say that you also are very partial toward HBCU. That just says that there's a conscious awareness to want to attend some of our historic black colleges and universities and all. And I love it when young people, you understand, take that in consideration and all. And it seems to be a strong desire of yours. So just want to encourage you to, you know, to keep that up in terms of that, because whatever it is that we choose, we know the people that need the most help is the African-American. I want to do a little something with you as we get to the top of the hour here. And by the way, I want to say to our IWDM listeners, you still have time. I know family and friends, you can call in if you related. I know you got family listening all over the country. There ain't no sense of being shy. You can press 1, make a comment if you desire to do so. But I want to do this here with you. You know, I have done special classes here in St. Louis where I go, Al Mu'minun Islamic Center. And as a wordologist, I use the word success. I'm going to give you an acronym for success and each letter, and I'm going to make a comment on it, and I want to see what your opinion is in regards to that. So if we put success in our mind and spell it S-U-C-C-E-S-S, that first S in success stands for, and this is like a formula, if you will, a framework for what success is. The first thing is that letter S, it stands for see your goal. And just relating to the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, to each he turns them to a goal. Your goal to become a physical therapist may not be the goal of somebody, a classmate or what. They may have another goal. Your goal may not be your parents' goal or other family members' goal, but see your goal. How important is that from your perspective, Sophia, in terms of having success to be able to see your goal? And oftentimes, young people, they don't see their goal. But God hasn't shortchanged any of us when it comes to skills, expertise, talents, gifts, presence that he has given to us. How important is it to see your goal, Sophia?
To me, it's very important. I've always, since I was younger, just known I wanted to be successful. And that career path has obviously changed over the years, but sometimes it's hard to see your goals because sometimes you have something set in mind and it doesn't go the way that you want it to go, but then that just means that you have to choose a different route to get to where you want to be. But I think just having the framework of what you want to accomplish is very important.
Yes, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And by the way, you're saying this to the youth that's listening in now and later as all these shows are archived. Okay, so very good. The second letter in this acronym that I've constructed is U. Understand the obstacles. Sophia, I like to teach the ABC. I used to teach my children that, the ABC, the ABCD. The A is if you draw a horizontal line and you put A to the left of it, and then you put B to the right of it, A represents where you're at. And then B is the goal where you want to be. And also, A can be who you are, and B becomes who you want to become. So it's a goal. But if it was that easy, everybody would go from where they're at to where they want to be as a goal. There are obstacles. Understand that there will be obstacles in all. So we shouldn't be disillusioned. And the reality is that we have to be able to go over the obstacles, around them, under them, through them. But we have to understand that there are obstacles. Have you been confronted with any obstacles to your recollection, Sophia?
Oh, yes. I have been confronted with many, many obstacles. But I think for me it's just how you look at it. Because sometimes if it's meant to happen a certain way, then it'll happen a certain way. But if it's not meant to go that way, then Allah won't put it in front of you for it to go that way. So
yes.
I don't really look at it as an obstacle necessarily, just a sign of adjustment.
Allah, mm-hmm. Akbar.
Yes.
You answer a question just like a scholar. So I want to say alhamdulillah. I'm so proud of you. Okay, so you're doing very well on this acronym. So let's move on to the next letter here in success, which is the first C. And that C represents clear your mind of self-doubt. Clear your mind of self-doubt. And I look at the word doubt, and in the word doubt is out. So anytime a person have doubt, they're going to be out of the game of life. It's very important to clear your mind of self-doubt. You have to not only believe in the Creator, but we teach our young people that they have to believe in themselves and never doubt yourself. How important is that, Sophia, to clear your mind of self-doubt? This is the difference of whether a person succeeds or they don't succeed. How important is clear your mind of self-doubt?
It's very important as well. And sometimes, even though it's your own mind, you need outside influences to help you, such as like your parents or just peers to help you get back on track with certain things, which personally I always turn to my mom or dad to help me get back on track if I'm down in something or I don't feel confident about something. They always ensure me that I'll be able to get it done.
Yes, very good. Excellent. All right, so we're moving right along here. And so the fourth letter is also a C, and that letter represents create a positive mental picture. Create a positive mental picture. I always believe, Sophia, that if you can't see it, you most certainly can't be it. How important is it to create a positive mental picture in your mind? You know that word imagination is a very powerful word. I just gave it on our learning lab before you came on, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as I am a wordologist, the acronym for the word imagination. It inspires motivation and great ideas, and that word nation, it negates all the influences of negativity. So, you know, we're just talking about clear your mind of self-doubt, but create a positive mental picture. Anybody that's been successful, they had to see it before they could be it. How important is that, Sophia?
I think it's just as important as seeing your goals, which is the first S. As long as you see your goals in a positive light and in the positive mental picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. You know, it's very important that you can actually see, and you have to create that imagination. It's a creative part of the mind where the Creator has given it to us. And I just think the parents have to encourage their children just to utilize their imagination. This inspires motivation, you know, to motivate, you know, our children. And oftentimes the environment, many of our children, especially African Americans, they may not be in the best of the environment. But imagination becomes the vehicle that drives us to the places that we dream of. That's words of wisdom. You're getting it from Mark Shaheed. Imagination is the vehicle that drives us to the places that we dream of. And oftentimes people have been successful. They often say to you that they used to sit and they used to think about what it is that they wanted to do. And they always maintain and sustain a positive mental picture. Very, very important in terms of success. So now, Sophia, we're going to move on. You're doing quite well here. Is the E in success. And the E represents embrace your challenges. And we want to give you something from the Quran where Allah says, do you think that you would just be left alone saying you believe? Allah is saying in the Quran to us, or revealing to us, that we will be challenged. We'll be challenged. How important is it to embrace your challenges? You know, this is how we grow and develop. We don't want to, you know, be like some, you know, two types of fear, forget everything and run. That's the coward's fear. But the courageous fear is face everything and rise. How important is it, from your perspective, to embrace the challenges? Yeah.
I think it's very important, especially when you get a great opportunity placed in front of you. Sometimes it might be hard, but to your point about what Allah says, he won't give you anything that you can't handle, or what he says is he won't burden the soul beyond what it can bear, which is what I usually like to remind myself of every time I feel like I've come across something that's too hard for me. But I remember that, and I try my hardest to get through it.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you keep that on your mind, and you remind yourself, and that carries you be able to get through it. So embracing your challenges, that actually causes us to grow. That brings about the maturation process in our life. If it was just everything was easy, matter of fact, the Quran in Surah 94, God says, in the Maya Uthri Uthro, and he repeats that in two verses, putting the emphasis on that, that surely with the difficulty comes the ease or the relief. And I always say that the relief is attached to your belief in terms of how strong you are in your belief in regards to that. So embracing your challenges is very, very important. It's just like when a person goes to the gym and they're building up their physical muscles, where challenges in life, they help to build up muscles too. I have to build up the power of the will, we call willpower, and all. And other muscles, abstract muscles in the human being. So very, very important in the growth and development. So we're going to keep moving here. We got two letters left in this acronym of success. And that last, I mean, the next letter is S. And you kind of alluded to it, and that means stay on track or stay focused. I think this is a very important one. And, you know, I use the word focus as follow one course until successful with it, and I think that everybody should have a belief to stay focused or stay on track. Oftentimes, many of our young people, they start out on track, but they get sidetracked, and they lose focus. How important is it to stay on track if you're going to be successful? And obviously, you've done a great job to this point, Sophia.
It's very important, and I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said that I obviously haven't gotten sidetracked on certain things, but it takes a lot to regroup or to want to regroup, to remember to stay focused on what you have in mind, and that's where the support of Allah and your parents come in and your family come in and to help remind you of those goals, because sometimes you can get sidetracked and distracted by other things.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And we see that happening all the time, every day, especially young people. And I think that part of the parenting skills that we have to acquire is to help our young people to stay focused, to stay on track, to prioritize what is most important here, you know, and what the expectations are. And parents should have expectations for their children. The only real expectation that I had for mine was to do the best that you can. And I always would tell them this little poem, there's good, there's better, and best. Never give it a rest until your good becomes your better and your better becomes your best. This always, you understand, can keep our young people focused where they become an internal competition that's there to stay on track, stay focused. And the last letter here is, which is an S2, show yourself in the world that you can do it. I never seen anybody successful without a show or something, or actually something that you have to do action-wise. Show yourself and the world that you can do it. Very, very important. You have to be able to show something, Sophia. So how important is that to show yourself and the world that you can do it?
It's very important, especially being somebody that has accomplished a lot and that a lot of people are relying on to do a lot and are expecting a lot from me. I think it's very important to show a lot of people that I can do it, and not only a lot of people but myself, because I expect a lot from myself too. So I want to be able to prove to myself that I'm capable and to others that I'm capable.
Yes. Oh, that's so very well said. So very well said. And thank you for participating in that acronym. I want to go back to your parents. As we've extended our time and our grace period here on the MGM Roundtable. I've just been fascinated by the responses and answers that you've given thus far, Sophia. And I want to give both your mother and your father opportunity to maybe say 2 minutes or 2 minutes or less, at least 2 minutes, for any closing remarks or anything that they like to see and they like to say to you, or any closing remarks that they'd like to make. So ladies first here. So Erica, what would you like to say in your 2 minutes?
I don't know if I need 2 minutes. I just, you know, this is.
We talk, I mean, you got 2 minutes. That's the max.
we talk with Safari daily, and you know, Safari knows where she stands with us in terms of, you know, she's very well loved, very well taken care of, but she also gets held accountable for, you know, things that she may not always do correctly, or you know, if she does get sidetracked. But we're just a parent. We're a support system, and she knows she can say, come to us for anything, and, you know, we got her back.
Yeah.
And I just also add that she, you know, we have been very, very blessed to have I'm blessed for both of my children, but we've certainly been blessed to have a child like Sophia, because we've not had to do a lot. A lot
yeah.
of things that we talked about today is because Sophia is very self-driven. And we're not necessarily that motor that keeps her going. She really does have her own motor.
Well, you know, she thinks highly of her parents because she stated early on that both you and her father, Tom, have been an inspiration and motivation to her, and also her grandmother. And I think that's so very important. You know, our young people getting family support. Most recently, a young lady said to me, she said, Mr. Shaheed, she said, I think I could have gone a lot further in life had I had family support. Her mother was killed before she even got to know her mother, but her grandmother raised her. And education was not a prioritization. And she said that she didn't get that encouragement, and I just want to put emphasis on how important it is, first of all, to have parents and grandparents and just family. And I'm going to ask her in terms of our brother Khalif Reed, because he's an outstanding student, and also he was a b-baller too. So I want to find out if there was any friendly competition there. But before we do, I want to give Tom Reed opportunity in your 2 minutes of what it is that you would like to say, leave our radio listening audience with, Tom.
I'd like to say first that I'm extremely proud of her and the young lady she's become, and the leader, not only
mm-hmm.
in her immediate circle, but like she's the captain of her basketball team and the captain of
mm-hmm.
her track team. So I would like her to continue to be the leader in her life and others' life, in others' life as well,
mm-hmm.
and continue to be competitive in the classroom and outside the classroom, and
yes.
be humble and thankful for everybody around her who's helping her in this journey.
Yes, that's excellent. That's excellent, Tom. And you know, I'm continuously finding out things. She's very humble because she didn't say that she was the captain of the team. But I'm not surprised that she wouldn't be the captain. That's an honor to be the captain of your team. You know, because that's a respected position in sports to be the captain. And so the other teammates, they listen when the captain speaks and everything. So I'm quite sure she's inspiring. And most certainly, she is that leader that we talk about on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. We do invite our radio listening audience to tune in. This is the type of person that we're talking about, to become a leader first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community. And many of them become world leaders. So a couple of questions. You know, your brother Khalif Reed, also a very outstanding student, and also he's a b-baller too, basketball player too. So did you learn anything from him, Sophia? And was there ever any friendly competition there between you and your brother?
Yes, I've learned a lot from my brother. Growing up, we've always been really close. It was just always the two of us. We never really bumped heads too much. And
mm-hmm.
no matter what was going on with him or anything, he always supported me and always gave me words of encouragement, especially when it came to basketball or when it came to – I know I can go to him to talk to him about anything. There's not a – there's no barriers there. And he just helped me a lot. And just watching him succeed makes me want to succeed too, because when he put the smile on my parents' faces, I knew I wanted to do the same thing. So.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's beautiful. Beautiful family. Yes. I want to congratulate him also in being a leader in his own right, because you don't often hear that in terms of siblings, you know, being an inspiration, a motivation to the younger siblings, and he being your big brother, that obviously he has been an influencing person in your life too. So thank you so much for that. And so, Sophia, as our special guest, we want to give you the last words that you would like to leave to our radio listening audience. And I would really love for you that if you were given advice to our youth, our young people, what would you say to them, Sophia? What would you say? What advice would you give to them, Sophia?
My advice would be to trust what Allah or whoever they choose to call God, to trust what they have been given, what trust what has been planned for them, because it might not always go the way that they expect for it to go, but it'll, if they stay the course, it'll end the way they want it to end.
Yes, yes. Very important, I think, very, very important in life. And never give up, never quit. Always have that determination, spirit to succeed and reach your goal. And as Rashid Salam has said, you know, earlier, how can we support you? I know Allah is going to bless you, reward you with a very good scholarship. And I'm just going to, I want to just give you something to be an assistant. You know, I know you can always use money. I ain't going to tell you how much it's going to be, but it's going to be a few hundred dollars. I can tell you that, but I just keep you wondering. So
thank you.
I want you to know, to be able to let me know when it actually happens and everything, and you can come by and pick up your check. Okay, and we want to encourage our young people. I've always promoted education, and in al-Islam, as Imam W.D. Muhammad has said, it is our number one priority. There's nothing that's more important than education. Education is needed and necessary for eradication and elimination of ignorance that we see so prevalent in the world today. So there's no replacement for education. And we're not only just talking about education academically, as my dear brother, Dr. Jamal Rashid, say on his show all the time, education is more than just academics. Academics are needed. But we need to have education on all fronts of our life. As we said, that the parenting is very, very important. We give a simplistic but a very profound definition of what parenting is. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that we have as parents. And so when we, as the Imam has said, in definition is direction, but it's also correction, because many have not put the emphasis on how important parenting is. And I can say that you're blessed to have two great outstanding parents in your mother and your father, and family support. This is very important. So with that being said, yes, Rashid, yeah, by all means.
I just want to ask the parents, you know, do they have any outside teaching arrangements, consultants they be there that they do to help and assist community young men and women, like going into the school systems and sharing from a male perspective and the mother. I know good well you are a great inspiration to any woman who has the opportunity to hear what you have to say. So if you're not doing anything, I want you to know I do have an organization that's designed to go into the school system and talk to young males and females and make them aware of life, make them aware of a life skill development and programs like that. So if you ever wanted to do that, because you've done a good job already, you may as well extend it because they're not going to be at home long.
That's right.
I don't know if there's any biasness
on their part in terms of I know they're not making a decision as to where somebody goes to school, but, you know, a lot of times parents are a little, some of them are a little hesitant to see about them going a distance away, and they kind of want to keep them close. I don't know if that's the case here or not.
The whole community is your children. You have this village now, and you guys have to share that information with other children because they definitely need both of you doing something, okay? I just want to share that. So thank you.
You can give a number, Rashid. I know
but
your
has,
number is not a private number, just like my number is not a private number either.
Yeah, Erica has my number. I text her all the information to be on the show tonight. I just want to thank her for being
Thank you.
All right, no problem.
Well, thank you so much. I want to thank you, Sophia Reed, and I want to thank you, Erica and Tom Reed, for accepting my invitation to be my guest here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'm quite sure our radio listening audience have gained much in regards to that. And as I think Jesse Jackson say, hey, we can keep hope alive. I know you laugh as they keep hope, and that acronym for the word hope is having only positive expectation. We should have only positive expectation in regards to our children, and we shouldn't have any hesitancy. We shouldn't deliberate or procrastinate in saying to them that we have only positive expectation, and tell them that you know that they can do it. Give them words of affirmation. Never lie to them, but give them words of affirmation. You know, this is very, very important, and encourage them along the way and let them know you have high expectation. I never fail when I meet a youngster. I don't care who that youngster is. I always say to them that I'm expecting some great things out of you. You understand? They always say, yes, Mr. Shaheed, you know, in that regard. So we can do
Mark, let them know that they want to get a copy of tonight's broadcast. It is being recorded. So if they want to get it for sit down and have fun listening to it as they actually go to college.
That's right.
I'll make it available.
Everything is archived, and my engineer, Rashid Salam, he will help you to navigate to be able to get that because this is historic, and you can listen to it all over again. I have really enjoyed myself, Sophia, having you on as a guest, and I just want to let you know how proud I am of you and what it is that you have accomplished, what you are accomplishing, and what you will accomplish in the very near future. So keep up the great work, and please let me know when that graduation day come and everything. I got something for you and all. Okay? Thank you, Erica, and thank you, Tom, for coming on.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. And I want Sophia to know that the MGM Roundtable, the door is always open for a return visit and everything. And most certainly, as she continues to achieve in her life, we definitely want to have you back again here on the MGM Roundtable. So thank you so much, and may God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
There you have it. This concludes the broadcasting day, Wednesday, on IWDM Radio. As you just heard, the completion of the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Sophia Reed, accompanied with her parents, Erica and Tom Reed. And I really enjoyed having this interview with her, learned quite a bit about her, and we should always want to continuously encourage young people. It's mainstream media. We don't get enough of this. We're always hearing the criminality and all that's happening, the sensationalism that they put in mainstream media. And so we want to highlight and spotlight outstanding students that's achieving well academically, like Safiya Reed, and we'll have more of these type of persons here on the MGM Roundtable. I want to just say to you that other programming, as we said, that the Sister Learning Lab does always each and every Thursday with Karan Shakir. She's out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. That's Atlanta, Georgia. She joins me each and every Thursday evening, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. And we're going to be on the last letter in the acronym RIPPLE, meaning equality, where Allah is telling us that those men that think they are superior over women, Allah gives it very clearly in the Quran that his creation is an equal creation, different functions, if you will, but equal in the creation. So you don't want to miss that. Tune in tomorrow here on IWDM Radio. And the next day after that is Friday, and of course that's Salatul Jumu'ah Day here on IWDM Radio. So if you're immobilized and you can't make it to your local masajids or Islamic centers, you can come back here and get Salatul Jumu'ah with distinguished, esteemed Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, longtime resident Imam of Al Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good brother and friend of mine has the Salatul Jumu'ah, and that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And the longest production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again hosted by our very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael Sahir, along with his co-host Imam Ayman there in California. He always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that's every Sunday afternoon. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. That's each and every Sunday. You can tune in, listen in. And our newest production, but it's off to a fast start here. It's almost close to 2 months, and that is The Science of Your Health and You. That's hosted by my engineer. He actually hosts his own show, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, and he has as his returning guest Instructor Abdul Shaheed, who is a teacher and also a student of symptometry. You want to get yourself together and learn about the science of your health and you. That's the show that you want to tune in. And that happens every Tuesday. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, The Science of Your Health and You. And please bring a pen and pad, because it's for sure that they're going to say some things you never, never heard about. As you heard our beloved guest on the roundtable said that science always has been her favorite subject. Well, you'll learn about the science of your health in you, and they approach it from a scientific perspective. That's each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio. That's a two-hour production. So if you're not able to tune in right from the start, you can always chime in whenever you can chime in. There's always some great information there. And, of course, every Wednesday, which is where we are now, is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. As you heard from my new co-host and facilitator last week on every first Wednesday. My good sister and friend out of Kansas City, Missouri, attorney Angela Habibullah last week. And each and every Wednesday thereafter, it is Dr. Patricia Slodin that joins me on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that happens at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And then following that, as you just heard, a very distinguished guest, Safiya Reed and her parents, Erica and Tom Reed. That happens right after that. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. We also want to invite you to tune in to Study Out Islam with my good sister and friend, Fitra Muhammad, out of the nation's mosque there in Washington, D.C., Halal Life Topics. That happens each and every Sunday morning. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it starts at 10 a.m. for you. In the Central, it's 9 a.m. And out west on the left coast there, it starts at 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Some of the most outstanding intellects in our community actually are making presentations. They do have a new number there, and that number is 717-908-1837. Once again, that's 717-908-1837. And the passcode is still the same. It is 684-012-POUND. That's 684-012-POUND. And if you should happen to miss it, the last presentation and presenter will be on for a whole week. You can always go back and you can assess it. Also here on IWDM Radio, we do support and endorse the Muslim Journal, which is the lifeblood of our community. We ask that you do support the Muslim Journal by getting a subscription. And if you have a subscription, maybe you want to think about giving a family member or a friend or one of our seniors or pioneers or actually purchasing for a library so that the Muslim Journal can be in public spaces and all. And so I think you still have time, the time to be grateful, in which I was a part of myself, to still make a donation, as this is the only major fundraiser for the Muslim Journal each year. So with that being said, a special thanks go to our radio listening audience, and especially those who called in terms of participation. Special guest, Safiya Reed and her parents, Erica and Tom Reed. And a very special thanks to my engineer, because without him, I wouldn't be able to be on. And that's Rashid Salam, always doing an excellent job in engineering for me each and every Wednesday. So until next time, this Salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
That's all, folks.